Hello, everyone, and welcome to American Ninja Warrior Episode 3 recap for Rob Has a Podcast. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am here with the amazing Lita. Lita, how are you?
I'm so great, Taryn. The Penguins won the Stanley Cup over the weekend. I got to go to the parade today, got a professional podcasting microphone. It's been big couple days for me. How about you?
It's been pretty good. Pretty busy. Got the Big Brother stuff going on. The cast was released. Pretty excited about that. Had a very good podcast with Rob last night. Yeah, this whole Penguins thing still confuses me. For a second, I thought you were talking about actual Penguins.
There was a real penguin at the parade.
Was there? Okay.
Yeah.
Did it do anything other than serve a symbolic purpose?
It stood on a float and didn't try to escape or anything. It seemed pretty calm.
I noticed you've moved to a new room and the listeners won't be able to see this, but you have a hand chair in the background, similar to the one in Arrested Development. Where did this come from?
I'm currently in the room that was my brother's childhood room. My brother is 24, so he no longer lives permanently at home. And this is just sort of where every random thing that he's collected in his life lives. So I'm sort of in an old mausoleum. If we ever go live, I will clean this out. But yes, he does have a hand chair from, I believe, his 11th birthday. This was a gift.
I wonder if he ever knew how much he'd miss a hand. And that's an Arrested Development joke. All right, so getting into the episode, we are in Indianapolis, home of the race car drivers, apparently.
All of them.
Yes, all of the Indy cars and the NASCAR. I feel like I learned more about race car driving in this episode than the rest of my life combined.
I didn't even know the difference between Indy drivers and NASCAR drivers. I just assumed that the Indy 500 was a NASCAR race.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I thought it was like the Kentucky Derby to horse racing.
When the first race car driver came up and they said he was an Indy car driver, I was like, oh, does that mean he's in the independent league?
He's
of
like an
racing?
Underground yeah. car driver, like a hipster car driver.
But I guess it's just like a weird smaller car version thing.
Maybe.
I love showing off all of my ignorance outside of the areas of Ninja Warrior and Big Brother. So we have a couple of new obstacles here. They keep saying the floating steps are a new obstacle, but I feel like at this point, they're not really new to us. I guess they're new to the athletes still, but I mean, we've seen it a couple times now. It's pretty routine. We've got the rolling log, typical classic from Sasuke. Then we have the new obstacle, the flywheels. We saw a lot of people have trouble on. It seemed like the experienced ninjas were able to do this pretty easily, but the ones that weren't very experienced had a lot of difficulty with it.
Yeah, the flywheel seemed very far apart. I think that's what people maybe underestimated, because some people weren't even close when they jumped off to grab the second or third wheel. So I think that was maybe where they had trouble. And also, as we'll see, some people were pretty fixated on keeping their L's. And that just is not an obstacle to do that. That's just general advice for a lot of obstacles, but not all of them, because you can't build up momentum if you don't let yourself hang.
Yeah, this seemed to be the qualifying course that's all about body control. You need to know how to maneuver yourself in the air and get the right kind of swing and momentum. The other new obstacle was the disc runner, which I thought was an interesting take on the sort of nimble kind of obstacle. What did you think?
I didn't like this at all. I don't know. It just seemed like there was just one strategy, and if you knew it, it was really easy. And if you didn't, then you automatically lose. It just, I really didn't like it. It didn't seem like something that tested that much ability physically.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, usually you look at these obstacles and they seem very difficult or they seem very impressive when you complete them. This one, it kind of seemed like they're just kind of jumping over something real quick, you know?
Yeah, it takes three steps to finish it.
And I'm sure it's still very difficult, but it didn't, in particular, it really didn't look that difficult.
Yeah, it wasn't impressive when someone did it. Like the first time someone did it, I was like, oh, that's what it is? Okay, that's fine. But I much prefer things like the dancing stones, where it requires a lot more involvement, I guess. It's more than just taking two steps across the thing once you know how to do it.
Yeah, it was over very quickly, and it was weird to watch.
Yeah, and I don't like obstacles that make more than one person lose by dipping their toe in the water, because that's really disappointing when that happens. and the Disc Runner was a big one for that.
Yeah, nobody really crashed on the Disc Runner. They would either lose control of their momentum and fall off the side, or they dip their toe in the water, which, yeah, not that fun to see.
Yeah.
Then we had the swinging spikes, which we've seen before, and obviously the warped wall. What did you think overall of this course?
I initially thought that this was my favorite course so far, just looking at it. But as I've made clear, I'm very low on the Disc Runner, so that brought down the average. But overall, I love the rolling log. I think it's fantastic to watch people like counterspin before they can do another obstacle. It's by far the silliest obstacle I think that we have, like, overall forever. It's so weird to look at. It makes for some amazing crashes. So I thought it was a good course overall, but you know, give me the Dancing Stones over the Disc Runner every day.
Yeah, I think the silliness of the rolling log definitely comes from its Sasuke roots. They love their silly obstacles, like the rolling escargot, which we have seen on American Ninja Warrior. Hopefully we see it again, because that's always a funny one to watch. Yeah, I thought it seemed like an easier course, kind of like the last one, where the experienced athletes, they were either going to have like a minor trip up and fail that way, or they were probably going to be able to complete it, for the most part at least. And we saw a lot of finishers this time, similar to last time. So very interesting. First up, we had Brandon Denson, a 28-year-old high school football coach. He is 240 pounds and very nearly falls on the floating steps, like right off the bat.
Yeah, he is a Michigan State alum, which is my rival school. So I automatically was not rooting for him. but he does have type 1 diabetes, and he took his shirt off and revealed the patches that he has for that. So I thought that was kind of cool that he was sort of representing that. But
it's kind of stepping on Kyle Cochran's, his whole thing, which is the diabetes thing. That was like his whole story. Oh, I guess he also had a dog once.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's, I guess, why we didn't get a package. Although it doesn't stop us from getting 9,000 packages about farmers training on the farm. We'll get to that. Yeah, like you said, he had tons of trouble on the rope at the floating steps, which is going to be the theme of the night, people not being able to figure out how to swing on a rope. And yeah, I didn't expect him at all to make it through the log once he got on there. He couldn't wrap his feet around it, and it was very clear that he was going to fall.
Yeah, he comes a lot closer than you might have thought looking at him beforehand, but he can't make it around that final rotation and falls in the water.
And he was going so slowly. I've never seen the rolling log move that slowly. And it's really hard when you have to use your body to try to get the log around. It's just too much weight to keep on there.
Next up was Natalia Clay Wisniewska, 27-year-old kickboxer born in Poland, lives in Chicago. This was all about the redemption. She failed 2 years ago at the floating steps, or the quintuple steps. She took a face plant and she wants to come back to redeem herself. And what happens?
She also falls on what, like the second step? Yeah. And like, you could see this one coming a mile away, right?
Yeah, this was
like, she wasn't going to finish on she's the second person. Like,
yeah, this was the Chad Sorrells lead up where, you know, her whole thing is, I want to get redemption on the floating steps and taken out by the floating steps.
Yeah. And she said that it happened probably because she was too short, which, like,
is that what she, I tried listening to what she said like four times. I could not get it. It sounded like she said, I'm probably shocked or something. I couldn't understand,
no,
but I guess she
too
said
short. That's what she
too
said.
Short. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
So at least she doesn't take any responsibility for her actions.
Next up was Eric Sietsma, a 28-year-old turkey farmer. He had a very entertaining video about, you know, living with a bunch of turkeys and everything. I'm sure you were in love with this guy because you love farms so much.
He's literally going to murder all of those turkeys. Like, that's what they didn't talk about on the show, is that, like, he's raising those turkeys to be killed, and he's going to be the one to do it. So, that's what I was thinking about during this whole thing. He's also from Michigan. We had a lot of people from Michigan on this round. Yeah. And he was also, he had the exact same package as the cow farmer, where he was like, training with my animals on the farm, you know, has helped me train for American Ninja Warrior, except this time it's a different animal. So
yeah, it's turkeys. He has a turkey made body, Lita. Come on.
Like, sure.
molded by turkeys.
That's horrifying.
And they gave him a giant wingspan, 82 inches.
Oh, yeah, he did have freakish arms. He should be like a swimmer or something.
Yeah, apparently that's what you should have if you're like 6'10 or something. And he's only like 6'2.
Yeah.
So
His body looks very odd because of that. And so maybe it was crafted by turkeys.
Exactly.
I was expecting this guy to go far because he got a hashtag very early on. It said hashtag turkey farmer. So I was like, okay, or turkey ninja, probably. Turkey farmer would be a terrible hashtag for the show. I think it said hashtag turkey ninja. So I was expecting him to go pretty far. So I was surprised.
Yeah, especially because he has such a giant wingspan, you'd expect him to do well on the flywheels. But he just wasn't, he didn't have very good body control. He wasn't able to get the right kind of swing, and he can't make that first transition, which we see from a lot of people. Actually, I don't think we saw anybody complete the first transition and not complete the whole obstacle. It was either you got the first one or you failed, basically.
Yeah. It's one of those obstacles that's a lot more about failing on the technique part than gassing out.
Yeah.
The spikes is where people are going to gas out.
Definitely. And already we have this random race car driver segment where we're interviewing Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Danica Patrick. I do recognize the name Danica Patrick. I've heard it before.
Yeah, from the cereal boxes. Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe. I think she's on those. No, I actually do know who Danica Patrick is. Probably just because she's a woman in a very male-dominated sport, and I tend to like those. This was our version of Matt Eisman going to Harry Potter World, was exactly. All this indie car stuff, or NASCAR, I don't know, whichever one these people were.
It was a weird interview considering, you know, one of them wasn't running the course and the other runs the course for two obstacles.
Yeah, and Christine like probably didn't know or care which was which, because she was like, you guys gonna do great out there or whatever? Yeah. And Danica was like, I'll be great at watching.
I think Christine was given direction to be very enthusiastic about trying to get Danica on the show.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later after Ricky's run.
Oh, I see. Well, given how well all of these race car drivers did, How could she resist?
But Casey Catanzaro is their favorite athlete.
Yeah, they're casuals. I mean, Casey is like also one of my favorites, but that's the casual answer.
Oh, yeah. She's the Joe Anglim of American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, exactly.
So next up, we got Joseph Newgarden. He is our first IndyCar driver, 25 years old. He says, I mean, obviously, he says, my race car driving experience or IndyCar driving experience, whatever it is, will help him on the course because it requires a lot of athleticism. And we see how that turns out.
Yeah. This guy talking about his cars was like me talking about hockey to you, or like he might as well have been talking in Russian. He was talking about G's and all these like words that just didn't, I was like, I know these words, but they don't make sense in this order. But yeah, in my notes I have sport written in quotes about 600 times for this episode because they keep referring to themselves as athletes.
But they were there to prove that they are athletes and it is a real sport.
Well, they should go back to the drawing board with that plan.
I appreciate the effort, but yeah, not very successful here.
Yeah, so he continues our parade of people who can't quite get the rope correctly on the way out of the steps.
He gripped really high on that rope, and his feet couldn't even touch the platform. He was up so high, so he kept swinging back and forth until he finally just let go.
Yeah, was the ledge that they had to land on like smaller or something? Because I don't feel like we've seen this many people struggle with the rope before.
This is something I noticed. I think it's just a matter of some of these courses, you can't really tell in the show, but they are curved and some of them are straight depending on the location. And I think that the curved courses makes it that much more difficult to land on that platform from the rope. That's my only guess, because in some cities it's very easy. They get off. And then in some cities, apparently it's very difficult and it takes a couple swings back and forth in order to make that landing. So I think it's probably because of the curvature of the course.
Interesting.
He's the guy that, you know, he keeps his arms at those L's and just is not able to get enough momentum for the swing on the flywheels. And he gets the black flag as he goes into the water by Matt.
Yeah, that probably means something.
Disqualification, maybe? I don't know. Maybe the car blows up?
Does that happen?
I don't know. I've seen that. I've seen gifs of that, right? Like, that's just what I imagine happens on these things.
Okay, maybe.
Sure.
You could tell me anything about IndyCar, and I would believe you.
I'm not going to try. Michaela Kirsch, the 21-year-old climbing coach, is up next. She is a friend of Meghan Martin. She said she is placed 5th in the world for rock climbing. I don't know what. She was very vague about it, but clearly very talented. She has amazing grip, and they were really building her up, saying she could be a huge star. She had a big package, like lots of hype surrounding her run. What did you think of Michaela?
I loved her, and this episode started keeping a new statistic, which is how many times I cried during the episode. And this is the first time that I cried tonight, because I tend to cry more at happy or moving things than I do at sad things. Otherwise, I'd be crying at every package on American Ninja Warrior. But just like her, like Meghan Martin cheering her on and her working with kids. And I don't know, it just really got me. And I really had a lot of faith in her. And that she's been doing this like for a really long time. She was a national climbing champion as a kid. So just thinking about how hard she's worked for this and how much she probably wants this. I don't know. It really got to me. And she's adorable.
Yeah.
She's
very adorable.
So cute.
So she takes on the floating steps and she very nearly falls right off the bat. And she looked so embarrassed. Her face was just like, oh, man, don't judge me for this.
Well, she had an amazing save. Made me respect her more.
Then she takes on the rolling log and again, just barely manages to hold on. Her whole body flings around the thing and she's just holding on with her grip, which was just insane the whole run.
Yeah. Anytime someone's body flies off of the rolling log and they stay on is the most unbelievable thing to me.
Yeah, this was one of the more impressive things I think I saw the entire episode was managing to hold on to the rolling log with your entire body off of it.
Yeah. Definitely.
She completely flies through the flywheels. Perfect technique. First person we see do this.
As Matt said, she had great eye-hand coordination, which I've never heard before.
I think Matt had poor brain talk coordination in that one. She manages to get all the way across the disc runner, as most people were able to, but her foot dips in the water. The first person we see this happen to, heartbreaking because given her grip strength and the amount of climbing skills that she had, I feel like if she doesn't dip her foot in the water there, she probably clears the course.
Yeah, or at least makes it to the warp wall. I don't know what her wall skills are like,
right.
But
at the very least qualifies for the finals.
Yeah, I don't think the spikes would have been a problem for her at all. She didn't waste any energy on the flywheel. She did it as efficiently as we've seen anyone do. Yeah, this was really a heartbreaker. So I'm praying for a wild card for her.
Yeah, it feels like we're saying that a lot, though.
I'm saying it about women because I feel like women get a much higher percentage of women at least get
right. Oh, yeah. Oh,
wild
definitely.
Cards, obviously, because there are very few impressive women. But I also see her being someone who's picked for like Team Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, I hope so.
Training in that way. So very high hopes for Michaela Kirsch.
Definitely.
Forward.
We then get our first montage. First was Megan Bevins, an oil industry worker who falls on the floating steps. She runs into some water, as Matt says. Dylan Boxer, groundskeeper and Orthodox Jew who ran with his yarmulke on.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird yarmulke, too. It was like highlighter orange.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of bar mitzvahs, haven't seen that one.
He manages to keep it on through the rolling log, but he falls on the flywheels, and I believe it falls off as he hits the water. And that is the main story for Dylan Boxer.
Yeah, and it's good that it fell in the water and not on the ground, because if you drop your yarmulke on the ground, you have to kiss it, and that would have been hard to explain. This is true. I'm Jewish. This is a true thing. And that, you know, that's probably why he got montage.
Oh, okay.
Would it have been really hard to explain to the audience?
And then finally, Leif Sundberg, the Swedish ninja, who falls very similarly to Michaela. He dips his foot in the water after the disc runner. Not much more to say about that. Then we see James Carter, the 26-year-old newspaper ad salesman who Matt describes as the heaviest man to ever run the course at 275 pounds.
Yeah, that is true. And he's a YouTube star.
Yes, a social media sensation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to narrow it down to just YouTube. Yeah, these social media sensations, I never have heard of these people. Do you know who this person is?
No, but he is apparently known as the mountain that glides.
Ah, well, the only James Carter I know was president of the United States. So, yeah, I mean, he does have some amazing moments in that video package just about like how he can move his body doing some feats of gymnastics that obviously you would not expect from his body type.
Yeah, I mean, impressive videos, not quite as impressive on the course, unfortunately.
I mean, he has one of the more memorable floating steps approaches that I've ever seen. He hops with both feet at a time and doesn't even look like he's breaking a sweat. Like,
I think he knows his role and he knows that these floating steps are probably going to be one of the only obstacles he's able to show off on. And so he really wants to get it in there. You know, he wants to show off his hopping skills.
Yeah. And then like the first competitor we saw, who is also very heavy, he has just a lot of weight to keep on the rolling log, and that makes it really difficult. I'm honestly not totally sure why they showed us this guy. I'm not really sure what he brought, because we've had people sort of representing the larger body types, so I thought that he was going to do a lot better than those other people that we've had, like the Colossal Ninja last week.
Right. I think there's two reasons. First is, he's a social media sensation.
Yeah.
Second, they really wanted to get it in there when Akbar says, "Look at that big fella hop around like that. Look at that. He's like a bunny rabbit out there."
Like, yeah.
How can they not include that line when they're editing the show?
Yeah, I guess he must be more famous than I'm giving him credit for. That's probably why they showed him.
Yeah.
This is not to say that he's not famous. This is to say that I am very out of touch with these social media stars.
So next we have Christy Pratt, the 22-year-old personal trainer. They call her the machine, and she looks very intimidating. She has a very serious look on her face. At least she did when I paused it to write her name down.
Yes. And she is very impressive. She backs up the way that she looks. She did a bunch of ninja obstacles on her wedding day. I didn't really understand the way that she approached this, but it looked like at her wedding reception, the whole room was just like covered in American Ninja Warrior obstacles. So she was in her wedding dress, like doing the salmon ladder and stuff, which like is kind of weird, but also cool. Like, if you're going to make your wedding day all about you anyway, you might as well make it really about you and show off for all your friends doing things that they can't do.
And if it gets you on Ninja Warrior, that's great too.
That's true.
She was very impressive, very strong, but didn't have the best body control in the flywheels. She does manage to get through it, but only just barely manages to make it on the platform at the end.
Yeah, she wasted a lot of energy on the flywheel.
Yeah. And then she also very nearly falls right off the side on the disc runner, but again, just barely manages to hold on. She really just kind of, she's one of these athletes just like muscling through these things. Not the best technique, not the best body control, but just so strong and so capable that she's able to get through.
Yeah, definitely. And she ends up falling on the spikes. It looks like just from a mistake, like she had her left hand on it and reached for it with her right hand and just like missed.
Yeah, she looked ahead to the next spike as she brought her hand over, and she just missed it and fell right down.
Yeah, I think if she just works on getting a little bit more disciplined, like she could really be a competitor.
Yeah, and apparently came very close to qualifying, but was knocked out by Brian Arnold, which was probably just like a run or two before the end. So she did not look very happy about that, and I do not blame her.
Yeah.
We then get another montage. We see Wesley Owens, who has big red hair. I believe Akbar called him a dancing bear. Is that what he said? It was very confusing. I don't know why he's a bear, but he fails at the flywheels. We then get Alex Benz, who was the first person we see complete the swinging spikes, but he was in a montage, which I thought was very strange.
Oh, we will be more mad about some montages later. We will get to how upsetting these montages were this episode.
This is definitely just a sign of things to come.
Yeah.
Alex Benz, he fails at the warped wall. Then we get Charles Kim, who fails at the swinging spikes and then proposes to his girlfriend. Again, weird that we don't see this, but we see some other people that maybe we didn't need to see. Seemed like there were a lot of interesting things going on in these montages.
Yeah. And she said yes, which is good.
Yes, definitely good. You know, I didn't actually keep track of whether or not she said yes.
Yes, she did. I don't know that they would have shown that to us, especially montage style. It's like, but proposed anyway, and she said no. Moving on.
I think if she had said no, probably wouldn't have been montaged.
Yeah, we would have gotten the whole thing.
Yeah. Next, we got Drew Knapp, I think is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, it's a K, but you pronounce the K.
Yeah, it's very strange. He is a 21-year-old student. His brother Dalton had leukemia when he was a child, and he's trained with him for a long time. He's been watching this show since he was 16. He's been training since he was 17. I love this kind of athlete. I love the fans of the show who have been wanting to go on it for a long time, and they're clearly just very geared toward it. He does very well throughout the entire course.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in these gymnasts, just because I think gymnastics really combines everything that you need for American Ninja Warrior, which is strength, endurance, body control, discipline. And by the time he got to the flywheels, I was pretty convinced that this guy was going to finish. So I'm glad that he delivered on that. He had a great motive for doing it, and he was a fan of the show, like you said, really, really dedicated to his training. So I was rooting for this guy a lot. Glad he finished.
Yeah, and he does a handstand at the top of the warped wall. He goes straight into a handstand.
Yeah, and walks on his hands to the buzzer.
Yeah, walks over to the buzzer, and he's the first clear of the night. Then he rips his shirt off as if he's not good looking enough. He's like ridiculously ripped. Like, come on, dude. Give me a break.
I normally don't love the gimmicky buzzer hit, but that was really cool. I really enjoyed that.
I was wondering if you would, given your admiration for certain athletes.
Yeah. Well.
Next, we had Darren Witherspoon, the 51-year-old assembly line worker. He represents the blue collar people. This guy does not look 51. I was very surprised when I saw his age.
Yeah, he can do like a million backflips in a row. So yeah. That's pretty cool. Also, he's from Detroit. I'm from a town I go to college in a town very close to Detroit. So I love to see Detroit represented positively. He was talking about the whole resiliency of the town, which I think is really important because Detroit really gets a bad rap.
Yeah. You know, something that I was, he works on an assembly line. He works for Ford. And at one point, Matt says he's built Ford tough. And it made me think, I wonder if they got a little sponsorship going on there. Is he really going to say built Ford tough? He's going to say their motto if there's not something there. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I didn't catch that.
Thought that was interesting. He has a lot of trouble with the floating steps, the rope, as many people did.
Classic Indianapolis.
He's another one who just flings himself around the rolling log.
Yeah, it was insane that he did not fall off of that log.
Yeah, it just goes to show just how awesome the rolling log is.
Yeah.
But does not even really come close on the flywheels. He doesn't have the right technique. He cannot swing his body the correct way.
Yeah, but still tons of respect for Darren Witherspoon.
Definitely. Then we get Jake Murray, the 29-year-old wedding photographer we've seen a couple times at least. I mean, we've seen him, I think, the last three or four competitions. But I think this is the first package we've gotten from him.
Oh, interesting. That surprises me because I don't usually have a great memory for these people. And I did remember this guy, which I guess just speaks to how great his runs are in terms of entertainment.
And the headband. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Very memorable. I mean, I could be wrong. It's just like, I don't remember getting a package from him before, but you know, maybe he did and I just forgot about it. He had a really hard impact on that rolling log. He spun like crazy and just like slammed into the mat.
Yeah, it's tough. If you are either a lot thinner than a lot of these athletes or a lot larger, and Jake Murray seems pretty thin to me. I think that you really get, it's maybe easier to hang on, but you're going so much faster when you're smaller that when you hit the ground, it just looks so painful.
Yeah. Something I noted was that they seemed to be absolutely in love with his cannonball at the end of stage one last year.
Yeah.
They brought it up like four times within a minute and a half.
Yeah. I mean, it's, they said it's like 25 feet down. That probably hurt. I wonder if he regretted doing that. Yeah. That just shows how crazy he is. He belongs in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He is one of our nutty people.
I'm sure he doesn't regret it given how much screen time it's gotten him. So
yeah, definitely. I mean,
he didn't get montaged.
Yeah.
He sped right through the disc runner, right through the swinging spikes, right up the wall. Very fast time. He was the fastest time of the night by a minute and a half almost, and hits the buzzer with his foot. How did you like that novelty buzzer press?
Oh, I must have missed it. I must have been writing notes or something. Oh, I was writing down that he looked like Alec Christie. that's what I was doing during that. Was it like cool or did he just tap it with his foot?
I mean, like he hit it with his foot. I mean,
it seems like a kind of lame novelty buzzer hit.
Well, he's a meat collector, apparently.
I guess.
Next up was Andrew Rue Yori, the 39-year-old lab technician. He is a big dog person. It was all about dogs the whole way through.
So guess who's my new favorite American Ninja Warrior contestant? I love this person. I think it's funny that he's a lab technician and he brought his dog, who is a lab, to the run. That was not lost on me. Every single thing about this person I am absolutely in love with. He rescues dogs and got started by adopting pit bulls, which is really important because pit bulls are the most abused and often mischaracterized dogs. So people think that they're really mean, so they don't adopt them. And one of the dogs he actually adopted from Michael Vick's fighting ring. So that's a really high-profile adoption, and he turned him into a therapy dog, and his other pit bull is a world champion frisbee dog, which is adorable, and now he has like a million other dogs and is using this platform to promote awareness for dog adoption. So I was also crying during this package.
And he's also Akbar's dog, as he mentioned many times throughout the run.
Yeah, the dog references were overkill by like the third obstacle, especially from Akbar.
Yeah, not much to say about his run, really. It was pretty smooth. He slowed down a bit by the spinning, the swinging spikes.
It would be a lot scarier.
It would be. it seemed like he was kind of running out of gas, but he does barely manage to get up the work wall and clears the course.
Yeah, he honestly, to me, seemed a little surprised by how well he was doing. I don't know if you got that sense. I think he was really there to promote a cause, and that was his main goal, so finishing was just the icing on the cake for him.
Yeah.
But I hope he goes on forever to keep promoting that cause.
Next up was Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the NASCAR driver that we spoke to earlier in the night. I still don't understand why we needed to speak to him, but there it is. He talks about having this rivalry with the IndyCar drivers. It's 3 versus 1. I'm not really interested.
Yeah, I don't care about this at all.
He has a minor slip on the floating steps. He struggles with the rope, like most people did, and just kind of goes right off the rolling log.
Yeah, we not much chance. Cut and paste these our comments about these drivers.
Yeah,
it's all pretty much the same thing.
He didn't seem very happy about losing on the rolling log. He seems like very competitive. But something that was pointed out was that his eyes were closed the whole time on the rolling log. So that was very strange.
How would he know when to get off?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Was he scared? Like when you're on a roller coaster and sometimes you like close your eyes?
He didn't explain it in the interview. He just was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have.
And then something I noticed was that Christine really, really wants Danica to run the course. Yeah. In the interview, she was basically begging her like, can you please? You're going to come next time, right? Like, it's going to happen.
I don't really understand why, though. Like, none of the drivers did well. I don't know why they would think that Danica Patrick would do that well. Just because she's famous? I feel like they could get more famous people to do American Ninja Warrior.
I think it's all about the star power.
I guess. I don't know. I really feel like if I'm going to tune into a show about sports that I wouldn't normally watch, as much as American Ninja Warrior can be considered about sports, probably like another sports star would not be the one to bring in viewers.
I feel like the fact that she's already famous and she's a woman, if she happened to do well, they'd just be so over the moon. They'd be like, oh, everyone's going to be Googling Danica Patrick, American Ninja Warrior. I mean, I see the appeal, but I mean, I don't think she's going to do particularly. Like, she's not going to devote her life to this the way that the other athletes are. So it's probably not going to happen.
No, you want star power? Get Oprah on American Ninja Warrior. We'll bring in viewers.
Okay.
Everyone would watch that on YouTube.
I don't think it would be for the right reasons, though.
Well, she's got a deal with Weight Watchers. This could play into that. This is a great idea.
Okay.
I'll go tweet Matt Nachbar after this.
Next up is Fred Thorne, the 35-year-old other high school football coach that we have this evening. He has, again, more trouble with the rope swing on the floating steps, looks very strong on the swinging spikes, and just kind of on his third attempt makes it all the way up the warped wall.
Yeah. Well, did you hear that his wife is a Spartan racer? They only mentioned it 400 times. Then her whole package on Spartan, if they have those, I haven't watched it yet either, is going to be about how her husband is on American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, so I can look forward to that if I ever watch the Spartan show.
Yeah. Sounds interesting. I've heard that the editing was a mess.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll get better as it goes in. Apparently, it was just really hard to follow who was doing well. I don't know.
That's what I imagined. Like, when I saw the commercials for it, it seemed like how do they make this into a coherent thing? Like, American Ninja Warrior, it's very staged. Like, they have cameras set up everywhere. It's one particular small location. But doing, like, a whole Spartan course, how do they film that?
Yeah. Also, don't people get, like, really dirty? Like, it's probably hard to recognize who's who. I don't know. I don't really know anything about Spartan races, actually.
Next, we had Adam Straup, who made it all the way to the warped wall, but just wasn't able to make it up. The extra height just was a little too much for him.
Yeah, he definitely would have gotten up the old wall, but didn't prepare for this.
Unfortunately. Then we get the montage with, I believe, Zanny Hensler. I might have written that down wrong, but let's go with it. She lost her shoe on the rolling log and said, I lost my shoe.
Yeah, accurate. She won't be the last to lose her shoe.
No, she will not. She's lucky she just lost one of them.
Yeah.
She fails on the flywheels. We get Tyler Yamauchi, who clears the course. First clear montage, or montage clear.
Yeah, and he's the shortest man ever up the warped wall at 5'1".
At this new height, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
And unsurprisingly, that's because he's a gymnast, who are usually pretty small.
Yep.
But also very fit for this course.
And then also we get PJ Granger, who, again, someone we knew from last season, but got montaged here. He clears the course. And that's that montage. Next up was Zach Gowen, the 33-year-old professional wrestler. I feel like I've been waiting for this guy to do his run since the first episode, because they keep showing him over and over. It's about time.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good payoff, you know? Not the worst person to promote. If he had fallen on, like, the first step, then I would have questioned that. But he had a really impressive go of it.
Definitely very impressive. He lost his leg to cancer at 8 years old. He's a professional wrestler. He had a contract with the WWE, which I assume is prestigious because I recognize the title.
Yeah, probably like World Wrestling Events.
Entertainment? I don't know.
Oh, maybe. That's a good one. Much like Taryn and I, this guy was a huge professional wrestling fan his whole life. So that's why he pursued that.
He very impressively uses his leg to control the momentum of the rolling log in order to get through it, again, with just one leg, not able to wrap both legs around. So incredibly impressive he's able to do it. But he just, I think that not having both legs to generate the momentum on the flywheel to have the swing, just he wasn't able to go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible that he got through the log. And if, in case anyone didn't see the episode, he didn't even have a prosthetic leg on for this run. This was just one leg, nothing else helping him. So, at first I thought, okay, well, once he gets to the flywheels, he should be okay because that's all arms. But you really do need more weight in your lower body just to swing and build up momentum.
Yep. Again, very impressive what he was able to do. I feel like it would have been a better experience for me if he hadn't been hyped up quite so much, because I was expecting him to do really, because they kept talking about how unexpected it was, but I was expecting it to have, I was expecting him to do well. So it didn't quite have the same impact as I think it would have had it kind of come out of nowhere a little bit more.
Yeah, that's fair.
So next up we get Michael Stringer. And this is the guy from last year. His wife has, I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, but Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, very unfortunate disease, which has no cure. It just kind of deteriorates the body. It makes joints come out of place and Lots of bad things. His run last year was, I think, definitely one of American Ninja Warrior's sort of shining moments. It's they really managed to succeed in that moment because it combined such a heartbreaking emotional story with a great run. And I was looking forward to seeing him compete again. I was very upset by his package.
Yeah, this is one of the stories that really sticks with me. I think about this guy a lot. It's just such a sad story. And on top of that, both of his daughters this year have been diagnosed with the same condition, which is just heartbreaking. Needless to say, I cried during this. And yeah, he just was this person that I was sure, because they're showing all this and because he's so talented, he had to finish. Just like, because I believe in justice in the world, I thought that he would. And he goes out in a really unfortunate way.
Yeah. As soon as he said that his daughters were also diagnosed, it just hit me. I was gone for the next few runs. I was just like, I could not believe it. And I really, you know, it was a situation I really, really was pulling for him. He very, very, very nearly hit his feet in the water on the rolling log, but managed to get through. And he was really impressive. I think he really improved since last time. He did very well on the flywheels, but on the disc runner, his momentum is too strong. It carries him right off the side of the platform. And I so disappointing. But his daughter, so adorable. She's like talking into the microphone. So happy that he even just made it as far as he did. I can't even talk about this guy. It's too heartbreaking.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked about this before, but making it to the platform and falling off of the platform feels somehow worse than falling into the water. Yeah. Because it's just so much less definitive, and it just seems so much less fair. And yeah, his daughter talking into the mic saying like, but he made it to the fourth obstacle, and like the fact that she was keeping track of that, and that he was so positive at the end of it. You know, for them, it's just about even watching the show brings their family together so much that, you know, it's not necessarily about winning for him.
And now we have to stop talking about it because I've never cried on a podcast before. Next, we get the montage, another montage. We get the Tower of Power montage. We got both Tower of Powers, Dan Palese and Brandon Mears. They both clear the course with very similar times. And we also get Tony Kanaan, another IndyCar driver who goes out on the rolling log like they all do.
Yeah. And to take us out of that really sad moment that we just all experienced, we're going to watch another Indy driver now with an interesting name.
Helio Castroneves.
My expectations are dirt low at this point.
Yes, the 40-year-old IndyCar driver. He's apparently a legend, I guess.
Not like, in this show.
No, but he did win Dancing with the Stars. Oh. So.
Well, so did Pittsburgh Steeler Hines Ward. And I don't think that he would be very good on this show. So doesn't necessarily mean that you should do more reality competitions.
Well, I think he's used to winning. Interesting, though, we didn't get a package from him, which I guess was welcome.
Yeah, what a relief.
Both of his shoes come off the rolling log, but he is the only race car driver to finish the rolling log, but immediately fails on the flywheels.
Yeah, he at least his shoes didn't go far. He was able to collect his shoes and put them back on. Yeah, I wonder what. Riddle me this. If your shoe flies off and falls into the water, do you lose? Because it's like,
I don't believe so.
Oh, because if your pants touch the water, like while you're wearing them, then that counts.
Well, if your shoe flies off, you're no longer wearing it.
Okay. I just didn't know the rule. So if Jake Murray's headband had fallen off of him, then that wouldn't have counted.
No, I don't think so. There's a competitor in Sasuke who wears a hat whenever he does the course, and his hat almost always falls off. So he would be in a lot of trouble if any clothing hitting the water would disqualify him.
Yeah, I mean, I was just making sure.
Next up, we get Meghan Martin, the one we've kind of all been waiting for, the 26-year-old climbing coach. Her package was a little strange. It felt like, yeah, her mom, who is usually there for the final Vegas round, is now here for the qualifying round. And
Meghan Martin has gotten so many packages between American Ninja Warrior and Team Ninja Warrior and the All-Star competition. Like, she's out of things to talk about. It's like when someone's been on Jeopardy 30 episodes in a row. And Alex Trebek is like, so, like, you have a favorite color, right? Like, what is she going to talk about? So her mom's here. And that's nice. I love her so much. She is my hands down favorite competitor right now.
Yeah. She talked about being nervous about this qualifying run. She said that she just didn't have a very good feeling about it. And I could kind of see it on the course. She was a little extra cautious, it felt like. Did you see that?
Yeah. And I think part of it is that we talk all the time about how the show makes up ways for women to make history. And this is one of the more made up ways. She will be the first woman to complete the qualifying course three times. Or is it just go up the warped wall three times?
They said go up the warped wall, but I imagine that entails doing the qualifying.
Well, I don't know if they were counting Team Ninja Warrior, but I mean, the first woman to go up it three times. I mean,
in a row.
Okay, but like, when are we going to stop counting these things? Like, we've gotten to the point where women are saying, I am the fifth woman ever up the warp wall. And now we're getting to the point where people are saying, I'm the first woman to go up it three times consecutively.
It's like, her historic run.
It's always going to be historic.
Exactly.
Like, when do we stop counting? So I don't know if there was added pressure on her from that. But yeah, I did see it on her. I thought it was weird that she didn't go last.
Yeah, that was strange. I guess I think that every competitor we've seen go last so far has had the fastest time. So I guess that's what they're doing. But she did get the Palm Wonderful run of the night, despite not being last. So that
is what made me really nervous about Lauren Ball's run, which we'll talk about. Because I was like, well, they've already given out the crazy healthy run of the night, so this guy probably really messes up.
Yeah, another interesting thing is that she hits her face on the flywheels.
Yeah, oh my god, and handles it like a champ. I didn't even notice it until they showed the replay.
Yeah, oh man, I get myself in the face sometimes and I'm disoriented for minutes.
Yeah, yes, I'm with you. She's so amazing. She looks better every year, like physically, her body, and just, I love her so much.
Yep. She misses her first warped wall attempt, probably because of the added height. She would have made it if it had been lower, but she nails it on the second attempt. She clears the course. She's the only woman in the city to advance to the final round.
Yeah. And that is something worth mentioning about, like, her status as a woman.
Yeah.
Like, that's at least something that's relevant. I mean, once she was past the discs, I really wasn't worried about her. I was worried about her nerves taking over and her falling on the discs because it's a new obstacle and is kind of like weird to figure out. It's really different from any other obstacles. So I was very nervous about her falling on that. But once she was past that, I mean, I had no doubt in my mind that she was going to finish.
Yep. We then get our final montage of the night. Pretty annoying. First, we get Dr. John Murray Adams, who slips up on the swinging spikes. He does manage to qualify, though. And then Ian Dory, the man who very nearly completed stage three last season, very nearly was one of the people that completed all four stages last season and
represented the United States in USA versus the world.
Yeah. And montage.
Nothing to see here. I could not believe this. I love Ian Dory. I think he's fantastic. I think he's good television. He's not just one of those people that, you know, does well consistently, but, you know, isn't much to say about their life. He has a great personality. He has a child. He's working on his degree. Like, there's just so much about him that is so much about what American Ninja Warrior represents. He's such a hard worker. He's so nice, it seems like. Ugh, I was very angry about this. And it does not stop there.
Yeah, well, you know, when I saw that Ian Dory was montaged, I was disappointed, but I wasn't that surprised because they hadn't advertised him as being on this episode. And he's always kind of been the quieter one. I was disappointed, but I was like, okay, I get it. I was kind of expecting this. I was not expecting the next person to be Brian Arnold. You don't montage Brian Arnold. What?
I remember the first season that I watched American Ninja Warrior, which was probably two seasons ago. So obviously I didn't know who any of these people are. They had a whole montage that I still remember of people. I guess the producer asked each person, like, if you had to predict someone to finish the whole thing to be the first American Ninja Warrior, who would it be? And like everyone said, Brian Arnold. And I was like, whoa, this guy must be crazy. Like, this is like the top of the legend status.
He was the top contender basically until Isaac and Jeff completed the all four stages. And he still is a top contender, but I guess not worthy of seeing the whole run from him. We needed to see three different race car drivers.
Four.
Well, one of them was montaged.
Oh, thank God. We had to see an interview with Danica Patrick twice.
Yeah, I really feel like they're underestimating the power that the recognizable star athletes have for the show and the sport. I understand that they want to get new blood. They want to get new stories. They want to have these moments like the Casey Catanzaro moment, the Michael Stranger moment. I understand that, but you have to also include these top people. They have to still be a part of the show. They have to be the base that you work from. Just disappointing to see this.
Yeah, it's a new era. Taryn, I feel like we're going to be crotchety old people complaining about all this young blood soon, but they really have no respect for their legends on this show. And it's so selective. Like, they'll still hype up Meghan Martin to be, you know, the focal point of the whole episode, but then they montage someone like Brian Arnold. So bad call. Bad call, American Ninja Warrior.
I agree. The last run of the night is Lauren Ball. I'm glad we got to see Lauren Ball. I've always been a fan of his. He's always great to watch on the course. He's competed in every season of American Ninja Warrior. Didn't get a package for him, which was strange, considering he was the last run of the night, fastest time.
Hey, he should be happy he was even invited back at this point with the way the show is moving.
Yeah. I mean, I do appreciate that this is a guy that we and the show appreciates for his run rather than his story. And I like that.
Yeah.
Nothing to really say throughout his run until he gets to the disc runner. He has such amazing body control that even when he loses control and his momentum carries him off the platform, he's able to just stay calm and just like grab on the side. And even though he's like half off the platform, he manages to survive, gets through, speeds through the whole course and gets the fastest time by like almost 30 seconds.
Yep. And he's coming off a knee surgery from a torn ACL, which is a pretty serious injury.
Yeah.
So that is extra impressive on his part.
I like how Christine asked him, do you think that the knee surgery made you better? He's like, no, I wouldn't say that.
God, does Christine have someone write her questions for her? Because it doesn't seem like it, but it seems like they should have that.
Yeah, probably. So yeah, that's the episode. We get 25 finishers, as I mentioned, very similar to the last one. I feel like this episode was probably a little bit stronger than the last episode, but still crazy that they montage Brian Arnold, Ian Dory. You got to show the wolf pack. The Michael Stranger thing was just ridiculous. And I think Drew Knapp is one of my people that I'm really going to be looking out for moving forward.
Yeah, I agree that this episode was a little bit stronger. It had a little bit of everything. It had the sob stories and the funny people and some legends that actually did get shown a little bit, not all of them clearly, but
and don't forget the turkey farmers.
Thank God that they are finally getting their day in the sun. And we had a lot of women that were not super embarrassing, except for the one girl on the steps, whose last name I won't try to pronounce. So I enjoyed that. This makes me almost angrier than Matt going to Harry Potter World, was the making room for these four people from a sport that maybe it's just not popular in my part of the world. But I don't know anybody who like cares that much about NASCAR. So to make room for four people, if they were NFL players, I would maybe understand it more. But you did not need to montage incredible athletes for people who are part of a quote unquote sport.
Yeah, the thing is, the idea behind having them on is that they have a huge audience that might tune in to watch them run American Ninja Warrior. But if that's the case, do you need to run a package for almost all of them? Or at least, you know, do we need an interview and a package for at least two of them?
Do we even need to have all of them?
Right. Can we just do a package for all of them at once and then have them kind of just run really quickly? You know what I mean? Like, I understand that you want to see them, but
yeah, do a montage devoted to the to three of them and show one of them. You could do a montage for them. They all wiped out in the same place, except for that one guy, Helios. Yeah. So yeah, that really bothered me. So hopefully there's no super regional Oklahoma City sport that we'll see detracting from real athletes next week.
Yep. So yeah, that is the episode and that is our episode. Despite the complaints, we really liked it. Great to see the Wolfpack in action. I love that they're doing really well. I'm really looking forward to seeing them moving into the next rounds. Meghan Martin has her heart set out on completing a finals course, and I really want to see her try, because how amazing would that be? Looking forward to the next couple episodes. Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. We have our own dedicated feed, American Ninja Warrior Rehap Up. You can also subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed, which will give you all of the other great podcasts on the network, like the Rehappy Hour, the Bachelor Podcast, the Challenge Podcast, all the MTV stuff, everything. There's so much great content for you to experience. So check it all out.
Follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yes. We also have Twitter accounts. Isn't that a handy thing? I am at Armstrong Taren. Lita is at newsaf_intern. Tweet us all sorts of things, questions, feedback. We will respond in quippy and sarcastic tones occasionally, and hopefully we'll be entertaining. Again, thank you for joining us. We will see you next time.
Thanks, guys.